you like to know more?
Episode 72 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. This today's topic is called List Building 101.
Yeah, 101.
Which is a play on means basics, doesn't basics. It? 101.
101.
You have like anatomy and physiology 101.
101.
Chemistry 101.
Episode 72, 101.
Yeah.
We got back in time. We're using a desktop recorder.
Why is that?
I was trying to do virtual cabling and it was doing my nut in. So we've got some upgraded equipment coming this week, which will be nice, like an audio mixer.
So it's going to make it seem even better when we record on this piece of shit.
Well, this was good. This is simple. You just speak into it, and then I edit it, and we're done.
Yeah.
Whereas all the other things flapping around and flapping, and I wasn't happy with that. The last one came out with the 3-mic setup. So we're back to this. I don't know what it'll sound like because it's a bit of a open space, and it's like being in a field.
Yeah,
this guy.
But you get it for free, so who cares?
It's not. Paul's philosophy on life, that is. You get it for free, what do you want? What do you want? So, yes, we're going to talk about list building. We're going to talk about a game we played on Saturday night.
We did, yes.
Wow, that's an exciting Saturday night. That's the lifestyle of the married man with children.
Yeah.
The most exciting thing you do on a Saturday night is play a war game.
Well, I also, anyway, never mind.
Anyway, so we're in Paul's land now. So, what's happened in Paul's world?
What's happening in Paul?
It's been a while. Sorry, I have to apologise. It's been a few weeks. Paul had a trip up to the Northlands.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had a bereavement in the family, so it's been a little bit awkward arranging a date.
Yeah, of course.
But now we've got one, so we should get back to normal, hopefully.
Hopefully.
So what happened in Paul's land?
But your kids got back to school, haven't they? So that
well, that's nice, yes. Yeah. But also I've started production on my Kickstarter, so that's kind of eating up my day slots.
Yeah. Okay. All right, well, so obviously we're recording, what's the date? The 19th.
In the morning.
In the morning. And, I'm here. I'm not in Croatia, so that never. So the army thing never, didn't come
through. It was never going to happen, sir. You were looking for something that was never there.
Maybe.
The pot of gold never existed at the end of that rainbow.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
you can keep walking along the rainbow.
It's the lies I don't like. It's the lying to me personally. I can't take
it. It's not lying, it's politics.
Politics. Anyway, so that's shit. I didn't go to Croatia.
So
no point. And to be honest, I don't really see much point in staying in the reserves, really, anyway. So, I mean, I'll find out what the new hurdle they want me to jump over is, and then
it'll be big, sir.
Well,
no doubt, it'll be big.
If it's, I mean, say it's 4 years, like qualified, I'll disappear until then.
To 4 years, that's a sensible way.
And then if then they change the hurdles again when the 4 years comes up, I've lost nothing because I've been doing something better with my time.
Ask them to see the criteria in writing rather than verbal agreement.
Exactly, and I'll have to.
It will be in writing somewhere.
Yeah.
In some dark tomb hidden on some dusty shelf.
Yep. Great. Yeah.
Okay. So apart from not going to Croatia.
Yep.
And not getting your nursing job.
No. So I stayed. I had the interview yesterday and I didn't get the job. Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, I wasn't expecting it, but it's still, I wanted it. Yeah, I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good to go for things that sometimes you can't get, and then later on you'll get them, and it'll mean a little bit more.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I'm not massively happy with who they have put into these positions, but I'm guessing they're
nothing worth anything comes easy.
I'm guessing they're better than me, so there we go. I must be shit at that as well.
It's pretty hard to be objective when you're okay, well, if it makes you feel any better, I applied for a part-time job in Aldi and didn't get it. And I used to be a regional manager. I could have written the questions they asked me to ask.
Really?
Yeah, it took me 2.5 hours to fill in an online application because it was pretty in-depth. You had to do lots of psychometric tests and all this crap. And then at the end they said, sorry, no. And you can't apply for another year. It's basically because I had no availability. Oh. They could have told me at the beginning, don't bother applying because we don't need somebody with no flexibility that can only do evenings.
Great.
So there you go, seven. My job before last, I was an area manager for 21 stores that had a revenue of 10 million and staff of 200. I can't even become a shell stacker in Aldi.
Wow, but that wasn't Aldi, was it? That was some other company.
Yeah, that was Blockbuster when they were in the heyday back in the 2000s.
Wow. So, harsh.
Hey ho.
So what have I been doing?
Apart from
misery and woe. Okay, so in no particular order. We played our game, which we'll talk about, but also I found this online company called Pop Goes the Monkey, which is a bit of a strange name, but
you reckon?
Yeah, but they make you know, shoulder pad inserts and like bits and pieces for 40k. So I'm not very good at transfers, basically, and
nobody is.
I just find they never look good, like, you know, because they just always leave it too shiny, but you dull them down, or they stretch and crack or something. I'm just not very good at doing it, you know. Anyway, because it's been so long since I needed to use transfers, and I was like, I'd rather they, like, badge insignia was, like, there. And GW do, and for, like, these Marines, I was like, I'm painting up as, you know, just because I like to paint them. And GW does some inserts themselves, as in modular shoulder pads, but not as much as they could. And this company does everything, like in terms of like tactical markings, like and assault markings and Devastator markings.
How much? What's the dollar?
It's not expensive.
Nothing's expensive to you, Paul. I've been here with this.
Right. Okay. Well, what do you want me to say?
I don't know how much per marine for a pair of one. Is it
well,
one
you get like you get like, you get like 60 a, symbols for like a tenner.
60 symbols, one for each side.
So well, so that would be like 60 ultramarine symbols.
Yeah, so that's like 50p. Tenner for 60. That's nothing.
Yeah, but there is postage and time delay. We're getting it from America. Ooh. But anyway, so I mean, the thing is, it was like, oh, that looks interesting, and that does actually something that would be useful. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll order.
And they're
not
3D
enough.
Printed?
Yeah, 3D printed. But like, I'm guessing, the thing is, it made me think, like, why doesn't GW do this themselves or corner that market? Because that's something they could sell.
Because they sell the resin ones.
Yeah, I suppose. But it's like, it's,
10 quid for
they are, they, they are, I mean, obviously you can, I guess you can't print the plastic too thick. They are quite bulky, but
you can print it as thin as you want. It's just hard to move.
Yeah, but it's like I've put it on a couple of test models, and like I'm pretty happy with the result. That's what I'd do, because it's like it's
a little better on the bigger new Marines. Yeah, they're like exactly. Super buff anyway. Yeah,
exactly, and
then everything would be bigger.
Yeah.
Emblems bigger. Those rosettes they wear on their legs.
I'm guessing it looks a little false because ultimately that stuff would be like painted on these symbols, but and it instead it pops out in relief. But what the hell, you know, it looks good.
We're playing with toys, mate.
Yeah, exactly. So last week down the club, and including tomorrow as well, we're doing Dungeon Saga, the quests. I got...
Oh, you cheated on me?
Well, you weren't available.
That's what we were supposed to be doing on the video.
We're supposed to be doing War Master on the video.
We're doing that too. But yeah, right. After a little podcast, we've got a little hour. We can't play War Master.
Yeah,
it's 2-0 to me.
We could do War Master shorts.
2-0 to me.
All right, yeah.
So far.
So, but you're meant to win those first ones.
Well, that's what you say.
Yeah, like, anyway.
I didn't win any, did they?
No, they didn't. Because I had these now, this time available. And I was free both Wednesdays. So I said, hey, does anyone want to try this Warhammer Quest out?
Warhammer Quest.
Oh, sorry. Dungeon Saga. And Phil built bits, so did Dave Downs, and then Adam was, and Rodders was short again. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it was cool, because I was like, oh, what is this like when you have the five players you're supposed to have?
Yeah.
And it was good. We played through four of the quests.
Four?
Yeah, because they can be quite quick.
Well,
yeah,
if they lose, they can. You just go on.
I pick on the wizard.
Like,
and it's like Adam was the wizard as well, so it's even more sweet.
He didn't stand on the pile of bones. Yeah. Oh,
get him. Like, shoot him every time. Yeah, because he's so much... I mean, like, to the point where the dwarf... It's almost like he then starts healing himself, that dwarf character.
It's not possible.
And it's like, you can't hurt
the wizard, I think he gets... You know, you said there were two states, like, fully healed, and I think if you hit him once, he's already on the state.
Smash.
He's rubbish.
Yeah. So what I found was, with that wizard, even if you roll three dice at him and you get three results, Like, he can't save that. He's got two defense dice. It's like, I've wounded you.
And no armor.
No, well, armor one. Yeah. Well, 3-2 pluses, you've wounded him.
Well, I've never left him on his own, have I?
Well,
I
should always do, because that's the way to win if you're the GM. Anyway, we played for four quests and everyone liked it.
What was the score? What was the score?
3-1 to them.
Oh,
but the one they lost was the earliest one. Strangely,
the troll one, the even earlier one.
No, totally. And then they almost, you're going to love the ghost one when it comes up. It'll do your nut. So I almost won on the ghost one. They literally had to plan out last turn activations, kind of, this has to work, that has to work, that has to work to win the quest.
Right.
And they did it, and it was like, fair play, but it's got to.
Did they try and fight the troll?
They. Yes, they did.
We're not the Dungeons Target.
The second half will be even more, will be a lot interesting, because it really starts ramping up in the last. Like, no, the characters get better, but the GM stuff gets better.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so I start hitting them with bosses and things, and also there's a second quest of that whole other 8 quests as well. Try. Okay. Anyway, so that's.
I'm not promising we'll do all those on camera.
No, I'm just.
We'll do the first 8.
Also, Simon's come along and given me some of the vampire counts and the rest of the meta. So I've already based them, and that's good. So that quickly, I will have the vampire counts table ready then for the camera. And that's great. I mean, again, it's like.
Is that an army you're planning on using in an upcoming event?
It could be. It's like. When we speak about the team event, I'll need to play to the team.
Yeah.
You know, but for the Triwizard Singles, the one that has the mercs and these temporary rules in, I'm not really bothered by them. I don't think I'll bother.
You know, I'm going to find something that doesn't have cannons and ram a cannon.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I will. Yeah, you're right. Too right. Get in the cannon.
No, I mean, it's optional, the mercenary rules.
And maybe I'll put... It can't win steam tanks, can you?
Because the thing is, it is interesting to try, but I think I'd probably... I don't know. I'll see what I want to do. I mean, I might use Tomb Kings, I might use Vampire Counts, I might... Who knows? I've got tons of options.
You have to bring something with them to manage them, yeah?
You'd have to look deep into the rules that Jim has done, but yes. I mean...
I think you have to bring a... Maybe I'm going to bring a fighty hero.
Yeah.
Cannon.
Yeah.
Couple of units. It'd be nice. Whatever. If I do spend 500 on mercs, it'd be good.
I'll look at it, but I'm not. The thing is, because it's a temporary thing for that one event only, I'm not. I mean, I might look at it, but I'm not too bothered by. If it's an optional thing, I might just keep.
So you better just let people know what's going on here. There's a 2,000 point singles event coming up in November.
Yes.
That allows you to use 500 points of mercenaries, which have to be allied, and they have to have their own leadership and stuff. But my only concern is that if that means I only have 1,500 points in my main army, and I have to use the 1,000 point restrictions for the list building.
You'd have to look at it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't know.
As good as a cannon would be, it wouldn't be good if I had to give up 2 units of cold ones in Lizardman list.
Yeah.
Because that can't happen. So anything else happening in Portland?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Still going?
Yeah, still going.
I haven't done nothing, by the way, so I'll just say now up front, I've done nothing. So.
Okay, so it'll all be me. So I picked up this. While I was up north, I took up a bunch of stuff to get painted, to paint. I finished it.
As you do.
And because there wasn't a lot else going on. Yeah, like,
well, apart from going out to a wedding rather than being up north.
Anyway, this Travel Battle by Perry Miniatures. So I read a review about this in a hobby magazine, and it is basically a war game, portable war game, not like a game of Risk. It's a proper little war game. So I saw it in this independent shop up in the Wirral, which is really good actually, called War Game Store, and on the shelf, and I was like, oh, I wonder if my father-in-law would actually play this, because it's a simple rule set. And, my wife said, he'd be interested. So we tried it. I got it, and I put it
together. That's very, very noble of him to kind of put himself out and say, try and find a common bond with his son-in-law.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I quite like. Now, the reason I bring it up is because it's a lot of, loads of similarities to War Master. You have these little squares it's very Napoleonic. It's French.
But I swear that the man, Rick... I'm pretty sure he knows and works with the Perry Brothers on other projects.
You could, I mean, even though it's only 7 pages of rules, But there's a lot of similarities to War Master in the sense that your units don't do anything unless you've got three officers aside, unless your officers are give the brigade an order. How similar does that sound?
It sounds very similar.
Yeah, and the way the combat is it's simple, but it's not dissimilar from War Master in a sense.
Anyway, shooting, just for disruption.
Yeah. We should try it.
Well, certainly, I must admit, it doesn't strike me as a tremendous bargain for £50.
No.
There certainly isn't a lot of miniatures, and there's certainly not anything you could use anywhere else.
It's a 6mm game. No, literally, it was. I know it was a buy to try of an evening.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, and it's retail, and that is £50 from an independent store. You won't find it cheaper.
No,
I'm. That was expensive for what it is, but before you say, oh, it's probably too much money for what it is, it does come with modular terrain ready to go and lots of replayable value.
Different scenarios or not?
Well, the way you do the boards is there's two single pick boards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have tons of connections together to make different maps, because the boards have a modular villages and hills and woods and everything, all with complete rules for what they, and roads, what they count as, and you can put them together in lots of different ways.
I mean, for the listener, if you know your GW battle boards, they're just 1 foot square versions of those, two of them.
Yeah, yeah. So you're playing on modular terrain on it.
You're playing on a 2x1 board.
Yeah. The thing is, there's a side of me that would like to play historical games.
I want to play Napoleonic.
The problem is there a decent rule set? And also a lot of the people that play historical games ain't like me and Barry. You know, there's two, because when I've seen historical games at conventions and stuff, it never impressed me.
Oh, the tables impressed me.
Yeah. But just the game, the
game seemed very static. Yes. But that's the nature of the game, I think.
Yeah, so I think we should try this one time.
Oh, we certainly will. I think. As I said, the board is nice enough, but the miniatures are kind of lacking a little bit. They're very small.
I mean, they're 6mm.
There aren't that many of them, really.
Not really.
If you want to, we'll certainly give it a go.
Yeah.
I don't think we can give it a go on camera, as it's not painted.
No, and you wouldn't pick really anything up apart from red blobs and blue blobs.
Six mil, yeah.
Yeah, 6mm, yeah. So it's not a camera, but it's something to try.
Yeah, we'll give it a go. Put it on the list.
Because the thing is the important thing of when you dabble in, oh, let's have a look at that game. Is there any good ideas? Is there any clever mechanics? And there are some, and I was really impressed. In fact, it's a very neat little war game. I played it with Hannah's dad, and I was there is that is exactly what it says. You can take that somewhere and play someone a bit more interesting a game than a game of chess. Yeah. If chess is your thing. Anyway, that's something I wanted to mention.
It's very good, very good.
Something else I wanted to mention. So back to 40k. When I was at this shop and I was I need something to paint for the next couple of days because I've run out of time.
You decided to just abandon it and go for a wedding anyway.
Yeah. I picked up one of GW's because with the 40k stuff I've done them on bases. Those modular bases.
You're talking about the movement trays.
Not the movement trays, but the Marines have mounted them on GW's own
scenic bases. Right.
Well, obviously those scenic bases are from a range of scenery, and because I've done a lot of these bases, I was wondering what does the effect look like on a piece of scenery. It's not expensive, so I picked one up, and just to try it. I can see, and maybe to an end, is if Necromunda comes out and is worth getting, you need some scenery to go with that.
Well, it ain't coming in the box, apparently.
No, it's not. They're giving a 2D optional rule set for the box.
Yeah, but the problem with the Necromunda was always you needed so much scenery, it was unrealistic to have that much scenery.
Exactly. And anyway, it was pure interest. Because the thing is, with these events, the next thing I need to paint for, actually, I need to produce something, is I volunteered at the club, because I've got this free time more now, is to represent the club at the Colchester Games Fair in 3 weeks' time.
7th. I'm going.
Yeah. So me and Roscoe are going to play Bring Marvel.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to make sure I've got a few more Marvel characters done. But they're fun to paint. I've said before.
The one-offs.
So I've got War Machine at the moment, the character. I'm going to make sure I've got the whole Civil War squads done. So that's, you know, that could be our two teams.
I just build an airport board, that's what you need.
I mean, like, yeah, but that's our teams if we want it. So, cool. That's cool. Plus, I've also got a Guild Ball tournament coming up on Saturday.
Was Ant-Man coming then?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a Heroclix model because there isn't an Ant-Man. Yeah.
Okay.
What can you do? Yeah, we've been reading. Anyway, eBay. This is quite amusing. So I'd said on the club at the last committee meeting that I would sell the club battle boards so we can use the funds to get mats. And because the way our club is, we need board extensions, like, you know, so on top of tables to make more
pieces of wood,
basically.
Big bits of wood.
We don't need these battle boards because they don't actually make any more room for us. So there you go. Like, so I said, I'll sell them. You know, and I floated the first one on eBay. And I was because I can sell mine at the same time because I've got one that I don't need anymore.
Yeah.
So I listed it on eBay.
Old tech. And they're annoying to put together.
They're heavy. You know, like, so I listed it on eBay and I was dubious because I was like, you know, I listed it originally as only collection only. But then Rodders like worked out, oh no, you can do it domestic with Hermes for like £15. And I was like, okay, if that's what you, but you know, he told me you can. So I listed that as well with a few quid extra just to cover. And I listed on eBay, both of them. And I'm thinking, maybe we might get a bid.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, I got messaged on eBay that morning. I put them up and somebody locally wanted to come around and buy them.
Boom.
And I was just like, hang on, you know, like, I didn't expect them to sell, let alone that in a few hours. So I listened, I said to him, like, one of them is a club board, they want it to run the duration of the bid, so the auction, so I can't sell you that, but obviously if you want to view it, you're welcome to, but I can sell you the white one, which is my own. And yeah, he came round, this guy turned up, came round, we bought at a price, and he paid for it in cash.
Boom.
But I was just like...
And what about the other one? Is that still selling?
That's on eBay right now. And it's when I last looked, it's got like something, 30-something watches.
Yeah, they're just tire kickers. How much is on the money?
There is a bid on it. So what I said, like, what is the minimum bid we would want, the price for it to go? We'll start it there, which is 80 quid. Someone has bid 80 quid. With a day to go, it's got 32 watches. Now, some will be watching for their own, I guess.
Yeah, to see what it's worth. Yeah.
But it's like, eBay is crazy, isn't it? Literally, to me, that whiteboard was like, I haven't used it in years. I'm like, I should just sell this. And it's probably more hassle than it's worth, but there you go, I'll list it. And then somebody comes around and takes it. And I probably gave them a deal. Imagine they go for more.
I don't know. Well, you'll see soon.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing about eBay is once you reach a critical mass, it becomes like the dominant way to sell. If you want to sell something and get the maximum money, sell it here.
Yeah.
Like if people want to sell Warmaster stuff,
yeah,
you can sell it on Facebook for a mates-ish rate or stick it on eBay.
But it's just, what I'm saying is it's just great. It's like, never throw something away because it doesn't cost anything to list it on eBay. If it doesn't sell, it's no loss. Because somebody else might want it.
Yeah, it's not always a bed of roses, eBay. Sometimes things go south.
No, of course they can. But, like, I personally haven't had a bad transaction. But I've been lucky then, I guess.
It's all a numbers game. I think my seller rating's, like, in the 800s. Eventually, they go south. And even though you'll do 100 and they go well, the one that goes south will leave a sour taste in your mouth because, like, for whatever reason, you end up getting shafted and you don't get your money back or...
Well, I guess so. I mean, it's with something so heavy, like, these battle boards are physical heavy things. It's just like, I'd hate to try and lug that.
No, I mean, if they're paying and cash on delivery, there's no, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And I then delete it.
Just cancel the listing and job done. Yeah,
because no one had bid on it.
Even if some people have bid on it, you still can't.
Yeah, because it's your thing.
You just can't do it in the last 24 hours, I believe. You just say the thing's faulty or find it, somebody's nicked it.
Because the thing is, I was very, like, they're both pretty battered boards. And, like, I've been very clear in what...
Do you know how much they retailed for? Not the first. They retailed originally, I think, for 100.
Mm. Yeah.
and then they stopped. They sold out in like a millisecond, and then they took them off sale and they put them back on for, I think it was 150, and that was 150 unpainted. So if you're buying a painted Phlox board,
I suppose
that's
so.
In reasonable, I mean, it's half price.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, it's just funny to me. It's just like, you know, this hobby wise, this year I didn't keep lists. I wish I did keep a list of what how much I've made from selling, but it has not cost me a penny, I don't think, hobby wise. I've made more than I've spent, I think. Could you not?
It's like some alpha speculator, the hobby speculator.
Well, I'm just saying, it's just like, because, you know, when my wife says, oh, yeah, what are you buying now? Well, it's like, well, it's cost us net nothing.
Net nothing, that's, yeah. I always say that, whether it has or hasn't. Right, so where are we up to? 25 minutes. Come on, then, we've got to crack on, sir.
All right.
Enough of Paul Land. What's
well, you asked.
I know, well, we always ask.
Yeah.
We always ask.
It's been a while since we recorded.
That's true, too. KR sponsorship, they are lovely. I'm making a jingle. Apparently, I've got to run it past Mr. KR himself with his crazy curly moustache.
Fair enough.
Bowler hat. Yeah. Or he's got.
And we're actually recording this thing sitting on our recorder is on a KR case. I mean, how much product placement is that?
Not only is it usable to transport your miniatures, it can rest your digital recorder on as well.
Exactly.
So we played a YouTube game on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Defend the Village.
We did.
Do you want to talk through? Because not everybody watches the YouTube.
Okay, yeah.
It takes a couple of hours.
Yeah, no, cool.
So what's the scenario?
So basically, the scenario is from the War Master Compendium, which if you're going to download and print one of the two, I'd recommend the compendium, you know, because why not? You know, anyway, it has scenarios in it, and one of these scenarios is Defend the Village, which is one side plays the role of attacker, one's a defender, which you decide beforehand, I guess. There's a village in one corner, and then there's four outbuildings, areas, that objectives, essentially, that the attacker has to burn and the defender has to stop from being burnt. It's a sliding scale of points, depending on, obviously, you get more, the attacker gets more points for burning the things first away from him, and you're playing diagonally across the table, and the defender vice versa gets more points for saving the stuff that's further away. The game will run to a set amount of turns, which is you can either randomly do, I think personally it should be 8 turns as the maximum, because it gives the attacker the most time, because even with half pace movement for failed orders, you might not get across the table as quickly as you'd like to because your dice are awful. Yeah, like, so it gives the attacker the time to get there, like to get to the village, essentially, yeah, which is in the deep corner and where the most.
I'm not sure. I think it worked. I think it worked fine.
Yeah. Anyway, I've played the scenario twice now, once with Steve and once with you, and I really like it. I don't think that it's a tournament scenario.
Do you not? I love it.
What, you think it is?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think it really puts the cat amongst the pigeons. I think it. I don't think my list was that strong, but...
Well, we're not going to talk about lists because we're going on to list.
No. It should have worked well,
yeah,
but it was difficult because when you're... We'll carry on.
Yeah. So,
you leave yourself very exposed when you're burning those buildings.
Yeah, because we won't talk about the lists we use in this one because it fuels the main topic about list building. Anyway, so this little section is about the game. Essentially... it was really good, really close. Barry won eventually with High Elves against Empire. We'll talk about the flaws of Barry's list and how I should have won. You know, like, coming up. That's the second time I played this now. I mean, part of me is a bit like, well, I want to try Wagon Train next.
Wagon Train. I think that'll be a lot harder as a tournament scenario, but we'll see.
We'll see. We can only know by playing it. And, you know, but it does. I mean, as a spectacle, this Defend the Village looks really good, like on the table, like because you're going off these objectives. There's a clear sense. What am I trying to achieve with my? What is the scenario? What am I trying to do? Well, I'm trying to burn his belongings. That makes sense to me. And it's well balanced in like equal side points. It's fine. It's not like the attacker needs more.
And some people have contacted us after the YouTube watching it, and they said like, but how can you break your opponent and lose? Well, you can.
Yeah.
Well, even in the original rules, if you could break your opponent and it could be a draw.
Yeah.
But in this one, because the point scoring's not decided on who broke...
Exactly.
They're not solely decided on who broke the opponent.
Yeah.
And killing the general doesn't mean anything.
Because that's the only little, I'd say, like the false thing about the scenario is that you as the attacker might decide, oh, I can break him, you now with some moves, but I don't actually want to do that.
Well, you'll lose.
Because I want to burn more of his buildings first to tip the scale of points so I'd win. Which is a bit false. It's a bit strange, but I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, it's just when you get your head around that, it's like if you go orc and just like, I'm just going to attack him, you know, like his army, regardless of what's going on, you won't win the game.
I think how we on the video we talk about it as we're playing along, I think there are 11 points available for either side.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to secure six.
Six is the tip.
Or you lose.
Yeah.
So if I just went out and broke Paul as the attacker, I get two and he gets nine. Yeah. I lose 9-2.
Yeah.
That's not good.
That I can't, you know, if he's because in Warmaster, like, some things are must charge because they have those rules, the negatives that they means they must do. There isn't a lot though. I mean, if your opponent's silly enough to do that, then you're going to, well, then more for him. You should read the scenario. Oh, my Janaway's just posted you are in that event. I know them. Yeah,
we think so too. Yeah. So so there was a point in the game where Paul needed to be broken in order to win.
Yeah, yeah.
So in this turn, he's trying to get himself broken.
which is false. I'm like, oh, hits me.
If I don't get broken now, Barry's going
to
win.
If I attack him, he'll have to roll dice back.
Hopefully he kills me.
Yeah.
And then I win.
Yeah, it's a bit strange. But
he didn't manage to roll the dice.
The thing is it's... With that as a tournament game, you need a lot of specific scenery.
So lots of villages.
Yeah, well, you don't have to be villages, does it? It could be stones. It could be anything. It could be defile the temples, you know? It could be... It doesn't have to, like... Substitute village and buildings with anything. Like, it could be burn set trees down. You know, like, yeah, like wells.
Tree hugging.
Tree hugging. Burn these trees. Burn the weird trees.
The
tree. Oh, my loads of trees and my other trees over there. You burn them, you bastard. Yeah, because like the what's listed as the house is not any set dimensions. It's just a thing. So
it has to be reasonable size. You have to be able to fit stuff around it.
If you were going to put it in a tournament, you'd have to clarify what the objectives are, like in terms of their dimensions. I think.
Yeah.
Because
you have to be able to get infantry around it.
I think, yeah, I think as long as you... Yeah, because like, how big is a building? The more stands that can touch it, the more chance it has to be burned. So that then implies that you need a set parameter of how big this building is.
Yeah, so
regardless of how big it is, how many stands can go around to burn.
Well, maybe if it was like a 40 centimeter square, no, what's that? 4 centimeter square, then you could fit a base.
Yeah.
On each side.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And then you could touch in the corners.
Exactly. I mean, like, you have to do these particulars, and it's like, I mean, it might be more trouble than it's worth in an event.
I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool that you liked it. I mean, you might love Wagon Train as well.
I love scenario play. It brings a new level.
Yeah, I know. And that to me, yes, I agree with you. But it's like, it's about, can you make it fair for every army in terms of like, can every army...
You can't make it fair for every army build.
No, you can't.
If you build it skewed and it doesn't work, that's your problem.
That's your problem.
Like, my eagles didn't have much to do in this game.
No.
I tried a trick with them. But they can't burn down buildings. What are they going to burn around with their beaks?
Yeah, they'll pick it.
Although, we were laughing about how good Dogs of War
are. Amazing.
They're just literally crazy.
Because the rules are, like, you have to burn the buildings down, you've got to use infantry, cavalry, or chariots.
Yeah.
So, like, people, basically. Now,
things with herdsmen
are infantry that can fly. So they're suddenly amazing because they can like fly over the battlefield to get to the village and burn it. Like,
turn one, I go burn your village. Yeah. Your main village, that's 3 points. Burn this other village, that's 2 points. That's five.
Yeah.
In like, turn one.
Booyah.
Boom. I'm going to get this one here. I want game one.
Yeah,
turn
exactly.
one.
Exactly. And then I'll do it. Yeah, like
you could win turn one with Birdmen and Dogs of War. You could win turn one.
Yeah, you probably could.
Oh, you get turn one. You get first turn. But then
if it's a tournament... And you're playing Dogs of War, not the best army.
With two Birdmen.
And you want to take 2 units of Birdmen, which are shit. You know, like, and it's like, okay, you'll do well in that scenario. scenario, but you ain't going to do well in any way. They are penalties. They are not good.
But they move 100.
Yeah, well, if they're not charging, they can move 100. Yeah.
Anyway.
Exactly. It's like, you don't get the AA guns out, do you? Like, get stems, shooting down, point defence.
So that was, yeah, we were just laughing about how good Birdman were. Like, literally, game-breakingly good in this scenario.
Maybe they might need an amendment.
So
nothing can fly.
That's so bad.
Because people were thinking, well, why can't my dragon go burn that town? I mean, dragons historically are good at burning towns, and it's like Smaug. It's like, Game of Thrones. And it's like, you see how that wagon train went up?
pretty effective. Thousand wagons at burn. As all war games are an abstraction, so you have to accept that.
Yeah.
But we just laughed about the old Birdman.
Yeah.
Birdman, right, so Defend the Village, we talked about the game, it was a good game. You can watch the video if you want, It's close.
Yeah, it's very close. Yeah, it was played in good spirit.
So we're on to list building.
Yeah.
Right, so why is War Master a good good game? It's because of the way it makes you build lists.
Indeed.
And lots of lists are very similar, but then played completely differently, which is so strange.
Yeah.
So we'll take an example. What's Empire? Empire's a good base list.
Okay.
So what do we have to take in our Empire list?
Let me just grab a book.
I know this already. You need to take a general. A general's 125 pointeroonies.
Yep.
You need to take 4 halberdiers.
Oh, that's the wrong book.
They're 45 points each. And you have to take 4 crossbow, of which now we've given you a little bit of a toy to play with. You can have 2 upgraded handgunners.
Yes, you can.
You can have 2 handgunners, 2 crossbow, or 4 crossbow, or 3 crossbow, 1 handgunner. So that's your minimum requirement. And then everything else is how you want to build your army. So you want to go infantry mad?
Yeah.
Just bring all infantry.
Yep.
You want to go cavalry mad? Well, bring as many units of knights as you can fit in.
Yeah.
There's no restrictions on them.
Yeah, yeah.
The only things they restrict are things that are game-breakingly, ball-bustingly bonkers, like cannons.
Cannons and flyers.
Cannons are just bonkers.
Yeah.
I dread the idea of going past 2,000 points, because the force multiplier on cannons just gets worse and worse.
Putting 3 units of cannons together will...
With a Hellblast on the end.
Will anything... In the game.
Anything.
Yeah.
No matter what it is, it's just getting smashed.
So if you're in the worst, the minimum you're going to take is 12 dice of cannons, of which 6 will hit. That means that unless you're a unit of flyers, you're destroyed on drive-backs. Because it's 7-14, infantry, definitely. Cavalry, maybe not. But, that's not bad, is it? You know,
3 units of cannons will be bad, so... Mm-hmm. Or you can split them up and just, try and take stands and blow brigades to pieces.
Totally.
So much you can do with them.
There's certainly a reason why the standard, the tournament game, the standard game is a 2,000-point game.
List. Not 2001. The Empire list has got a fantastic variety of ways to build it.
Yeah.
Like, we can have fanatics, we can have skirmishers,
yep.
We can have handgunners to go along with our crossbowmen if we weren't
quite. I would say that
if
you were new to War Master and you were and you didn't have a muchness over what army you wanted to play, but you just wanted the one that was the most universal, then Empire is the list, I would say.
Yeah, I mean...
Because it can do something of everything, and it's, the vanilla... It's meant to.
It doesn't have heavy infantry. It has hitty infantry in the fanatics, but not heavy infantry.
Yeah.
But it does have 2 of the best things in the game. It has cannons.
Yep.
It has 3, actually. It has cannons, has knights, has a fighty, terrifying character in a griffin.
Yep.
And it has a magic spell, which is a movement spell. Yep. So,
I mean...
It's got lots of good stuff. Yeah.
Okay, so your main point with this is extreme build versus balanced.
Right, so...
Is that what I think about list building is there?
Yeah, so you've got this list here. Mm-hmm. You can either build Paul's one-of-everything approach, pick and mix.
The fun approach.
The fun approach. Or you can say, right, I'm going to build my army and it's going to focus on cavalry.
Yeah.
How many units of cavalry are going to fit in? Well, you can easily fit in 10. You could probably fit in more. Because of the way it works.
Yeah.
Because your minimum spend is not very much. It's only about 300 points or 400 points for the Empire.
Cavalry are 100, knights are 110, and there's no maximum, so...
You could maybe take 14 units, probably.
Yeah, easy.
You'd have nothing else to do with them. No more characters to order them with.
Yeah.
So what I did was, in our game, I bought a Silver Helm heavy list. So I took the minimum in my high elf. I took the minimum core, and then I took a fighty dragon hero with a sword, two eagles, because they're very good, and the rest of Silverhelms. That's 10 Silverhelms. Yeah. The problem with the list, when you've done it this way, is that you have very little command.
Yeah. And I will and highlight, if you can pick it up in the YouTube game, is that this... So, I've played against this Barry's, like, no fun, like, high elf list. And, okay, so, the its major weakness is that it has just two characters. You know, it has a lot of knights, which you're going to have to fight, because it still has a good break. You know, like, even though those knights are... It's not...
It's break is 10. It's break nine. Is 10. No, nine.
So, you're still going to have to fight a lot of these knights, but he only has the two characters to order them. You know, one of them is the Command 10. Now, in Barry's build, I would say the criticism is that he build... You know, the build has a dragon in it with a magic-y sword. So he sunk some points into a dragon mount on a hero, and he's inclined to then put it into a fight. So, the... And...
The right fight.
In this game that we last played, I had a unit of three Empire Knights trying to get over to defend an important objective building. Barry charges it with three units of High Elf Knights, Silver Elves. Exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
Yeah, just different names. He puts in the dragon to tip the balance, the fight.
Massively tip the balance.
Which he should do. Now, because that character is 80 points, with a dragon 100 points, and with a sword 110 points. So 190. He's throwing in, you know, effectively...
Two more units, almost.
Value-wise, into tip that fight. And, you know, lo and behold, you know, there was a lot of weird spikes in this game of dice, but, like...
I'm throwing a lot more dice, but doing no more damage, really.
Which you did win, anyway. Okay, that happens. But Barry has committed that character, and he protects it rightly. He puts it in the centre unit of Silverhelms, not one on either flank, like... And there it is. It's pinned. Now I've got the rest of my turn, the whole of my turn, to work out how can I kill that one unit. Because if I do get it, then I'm killing one of his only other character by his general. And in a game where the army's going to be spread out as much as it is, that's, you know, every command roll will be precious then. If he rolls an 11 and the first command of a turn,
I think it happened once. Yeah, in one turn.
And it's like that's. The snowball effect of that is massive, because in Warmaster, like, the balance list has a collection of characters who share the burden of ordering stuff around, and at the very least you get some half-paced moves around.
Oh, the wizards were insanely good considering what they're rolling on.
Yeah, the Empire, I mean, Empire wizards,
and they did insanely well.
Yeah, they did, yeah, because they were trained. Yeah,
like, but even so, four failed orders is a lot more movement than one failed order.
Yeah, exactly. So what I did was that. So in my turn, I see the weakness is right. How can I deal with it? So I initiative charge in to max his knights again. I send my knights back in with some pistoliers, and I spare one unit because I had a unit of two, a brigade of two pistoliers further to the left of them. And I was like, right, in two orders, I can get that unit of pistoliers round and recharge the unit of knights that has the dragon in it. You know, and because Barry's spared no points aside from maxing out on cheese, he hasn't got a wizard, he hasn't got a dispel scroll. There's like, well, I do have a wizard with some points sink, I put in a ring of magic. But it was even worth attempting, even if there wasn't one. Because the reward is far outweighs the risk. If this goes wrong and I lose a unit of pistoliers somewhere, but if I get it, then I'm massively hindering it. So what I did was I passed an order with that unit of pistoliers, and in fact I rolled well and I got them to recharge as well. Now I would have done, if they hadn't, I'd have brought a wizard over and also cast voice command to send them in.
Yeah.
So
you got me in a sandwich, sir.
I got you in a sandwich, so I did everything right. Yet my dice
and completely and you weird enchanted.
Yeah, yeah. I even got a supporting spell in as well, and I rolled badly. And
but the dragon makes a big difference. It takes away a lot of attacks.
I did the maths afterwards at home, and taking average rolls and evening out everything, you know, the same, I should have won that fight 10-7. Okay. If I won by one, that centre unit would have died because they had nowhere to retreat to. And I would have, all I needed to do was win one combat, one. The win the first combat by one. And that's effectively done.
And that would have killed the centre unit with the dragon.
The other two
would have been alive, but the centre unit would have been gone.
Because all that matters. Because now you're down to either acting on initiative or risking orders which can... And if I break up your units, your brigades, you won't be able to move the army very well.
So, of course, Paul has done the maths, and it is what he says, but the dragon takes away 8 attacks. Five on the front, three
and
in the back.
Behind, yeah.
Yeah, 8 attacks.
Yeah.
He brings an extra 5 attacks himself.
Yep.
So that's quite a big swing.
Yeah.
And also, what Paul committed was there were 2 units of pistoliers involved.
Yeah.
And the difference between pistoliers and knight survivability is... It can be dramatic.
Yeah, sadly. And it's because you would direct onto them where you can. And that's what the character did. Anyway, even taking all of those things... I sat at home and was like, what's the best, most effective way he can direct his attacks? Let's assume he does that. I still should have won 10-7. And I didn't. So, but that would have pointed out
that would have been just dessert. Because I did go after your throat. All your cavalry on one end, one side. Yeah. So get rid of the cavalry, get rid of the pistoliers, and then you're foot slogging against high elves who've got leadership 10 and just running around.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, we're over here, we're over here.
And that's what happened, sadly, on the right hand side is the building I sent a lot of my infantry to defend, he just ordered round the back of it, and it's like, oh, I'm not meant to do that. So that's the risk, is the extreme build versus the balanced build, is like the risk reward there. Is like, against, I think more often than not, I guess the extreme build against comes up well against the balanced list, but when it can be undone, it'll undone quickly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if for example, this list, and the terrain's against it.
Yeah, yeah.
So suddenly you're playing on a table full of woods. What can I do? I can't do anything.
You can't do anything. Yeah.
I just run around the woods, everything's hidden in the woods, shooting at me and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no game there. Yeah, so there is that. That's the risk you go into with an event, if you're where you're fixed to the list you use each event. If you go extreme, then you might lose a game hard. And not be in it at all.
Yeah. But that's the risk of extreme builds. Whereas if you had a balanced list, like your list performed really well because your cannons were intact for 7 turns.
Yep.
So that means that over those 7 turns, 7 of my units were degraded to some degree.
Yeah.
And most of the time, that was knights being degraded.
Exactly.
So by the end of the game, even though we hadn't fought a great deal, I had very few undamaged knight units.
Yeah, there was a lot of 2 stands running around.
Or one stand. Because I know my lesson, you face in line.
Yep.
So it's going to sting, but not as much as it would in column. But lots of degraded knight units. And that's one of the strengths of a balanced list. Like Paul's got, you've got lots of infantry around. Mm-hmm. You've got a reasonable amount of cavalry. You've got wizards. You've no fighty character, though. I think
that's one of the things I always try to find room for. That's the only thing in that particular list, the Empire list, that it doesn't have that I'm like, I am missing. It's like, ooh, my own little terror-causing chicken. You know, like, so that's a shame. Because it can't...
But it's hard, because he needs to be a separate hero in your list, I think.
Exactly. Like,
because you can't rely on the wizards. Because
I built one Empire list, which was a balance of a different sort. Then steam tanks got good, and I wanted to include a steam tank. You know, and I was like, oh, I'll rework it to have a steam tank. And that's the thing.
So just as an example, you show your list, which is a little bit less Paul than normal, actually. He's going to read through his list that he played on Saturday, which is a little bit less Paul than normal, because you would have had another hero on a dragon, so you'd have had to find 200 points to come out of this list somewhere.
Yep.
And I will talk about my Empire list that I've been using. I may well use in the tournaments coming up.
Ooh, okay. So, Paul's balanced list of fun, which will win you lots of friends at an event. Not like you, Barry. So the way it goes is you take 6 halberdiers, and I go into list building and up how they get built. 6 halberdiers and 2 handgunners. Take 3 crossbowmen, 2 flagellants, 4 skirmisher stands, 3 knights, 2 pistoliers, 1 hellblaster, 2 units of cannons, 1 steam tank, a general, just 1 hero, and 2 wizards, and you've got 30 points spare. The minimum unit is 45, so that goes on a ring of magic, which is useful because Empire's got a useful spell.
Very useful spell.
So the way that then the army is built is as such. So the halberdiers are split into 2 brigades. There's a unit of 4 halberdiers, Brigade. A brigade of four halberdiers with the four skirmishers at the front.
Now, in column.
In column.
They are monstrously difficult to shift.
That gives you a brigade that will be very hard for the opponent to roll over.
That is the very definition of an anvil.
Yeah.
It will hold you up.
It's like there's a lot of... Because there's four stands then in each unit. That's 4, 8, 12, 16 stands. 16 times 3. 16, 30,
48 wounds.
48 wounds to get to chew through. You know,
it's a lot of wounds.
Yeah. And they only have 6 armor. I mean, they're only... But it's not even that expensive. You know, like as a brigade. So that gets built that way. The other two units...
You only get two rows of combat now. It's not like unlimited combat.
Exactly. If you need something, if you need the enemy to hold onto something, as in you fix them in place there, and then you hit them hard.
I've seen them in the front with Silverhounds, a whole front ditch, and it's not done in two turns. Yep. So,
So it's nice. Then two units of halberdiers go with two units of crossbowmen to make a standard, you know, like missiles at the front, cross halberdiers at the back.
Very wide brigade, that one.
The two handgunners, which you've upgraded, so there's no minimum 4 crossbowmen needed. There's two of them are... Two of the minimums are included in the handgunners, if you wanted them to be. So the two handgunners and the two flagellants make a brigade. Now, before flagellants had the change of skirmishers, they might have been the central brigade of, like, handle. But because they can't have skirmishers, and I agree with that, because of all the change, is they then become the second wave, they become the harder infantry, like missile brigade. So they have the handgunners are a bit better at shooting, and if they get through the handgunners, then they've got to take on the flagellants, who have a lot of attacks.
Yeah.
You know, and now you could subjectively say you could save more points by changing those flagellants to halberdiers and save a few more points. You could do, but I like to have something over it. And at times, this is obviously assuming that you're playing the game to the set brigades that you want. You might need the flagellants to not be deployed like that. They might be the thing you need to dig somebody out of cover, out of terrain, because that's the best thing Emperor are going to have for it. So they might not be there. So the skirmishes are accounted for. The three knights go in one brigade, or you might want to split them up individually if you think you can risk the orders. The two pistoliers go on themselves, and they're looking for what pistoliers can do. And then your artillery brigade is the two cannons, the Hellblaster, with the one unit of crossbowmen are attached onto it. I prefer to defend my artillery with a unit of infantry as well. In a four, you have the two shooty infantry guns, you have the one point defence infantry gun, and then you have a unit of infantry. I prefer that build, personally, because you can always get some static combat res, which might mean everything, you know, like with the infantry. It's a choice. And then you've got the steam tank to go on its own because it can't go with anything else, and it's cool now, you know, like, and that the wizards, again, this list plays the spell selection, is the wizards with their ring of magics, their voice of commands, there's potential, there's the steam tank's an obvious contender for that, to get another order somewhere, to get in front of somebody, to be the initiative target, or the units of knights to get into combat when you need them.
Yeah.
You know, like individual units of knights in a flank somewhere. You know, and the wizards are there to facilitate that. It could do with another hero, definitely, and you could drop the flagellants for halberdiers. It's a choice. You can't have everything. It doesn't have a griffin character.
So, you can't have everything, and that's one of the strengths of Warmaster.
It makes you make decisions.
So my Empire list, which is obviously it's going to have some similarities to Paul, but not that many. Mm-hmm. So we have 4 halberdiers and 4 crossbowmen. No upgrades to handgunners because I ain't got no points.
Yep.
What was your break, by the way?
My break would be 11, and my scouts would be 6.
Okay. So 4 halberdiers, 4 crossbowmen. They're split into 2 even brigades. So 2 crossbowmen, 2 halberdiers. That's pretty standard fodder for Empire. They tend to be a bit wide and thin.
You have to have them, so, yeah.
Because I don't really want crossbows supported by crossbows, because then the second rank aren't doing anything.
That's not good points, Ben.
So I tend to not want these guys to fight, if at all possible.
Yep.
And then we have 4 knights, because I like a 4 in a brigade of knights.
Yep.
You run 3.
Yeah, just because
you can't have everything.
Because the way the points fall in that list... is I'd rather have 3 knights and 2 pistoliers than 4 knights and no pistoliers.
So we have 4 knights and 2 pistoliers. The pistoliers run off on their own. Mm-hmm. They're not the weakest link in the army, but I find that they're the ones I always get cross with.
because they just don't do enough for me.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
the short range.
The opportunists, opportunities. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they used to have a really good role of shooting off support, which you can't do anymore.
Yeah.
So if you were in brigade was in line, you'd engage the front, and then you could shoot the guys off the back.
Yep.
But you can't do that anymore because they're locked into combat. So that was one of the strong roles, that they can't do that anymore. Yep. So we have two cannons and two hellbusters, and that's my brigade.
Fair enough.
It is 270 points. It is a spanking for stuff without armour. I mean, if you're going to charge this, and God forbid you're going to charge this on a hill, you're going to have to put something with armour in. It's going to have to be like knights.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's going to get spanked. You can't put like goblins into it, or even eagles. You know, because you're taking 8 shots twice from the hellbusters.
16, so 8 hits, isn't it?
8 hits. We've got no armor.
And minus one.
We got no armor anyway. Oh, okay. There's 6 up. Yes, yeah. There's no armor.
So that's no armor. So that's 2 stats dead.
8 hits. Yeah, jeez.
Yeah.
And then you've got the cannon shot.
Fire 2, and then you put it, if you're touching enough of them, you're going to be 2, 4, 6, 8 more dice. Number 4 hits with armour.
There's nothing left.
Yeah, you're going to have nothing left, yeah. You'd be annihilated on sand and fire. So that's if you connected it all, obviously. How do you build it?
I normally put the cannons in the on the edges and the hellbusters in the middle. So I think I think you trigger both hellbusters whichever way you come in.
That makes sense.
So you might only get one cannon. So that's 4 from the cannons and 8 from the hellbusters.
Because the way I build mine is I'd have a hellblaster on one end, infantry on the other, and the cannons in the middle. And then that triggers most of it as well if it comes in.
Yeah, I think it feels weird not putting the hellbusters on the corner, but I think when I did the math, if you put them in the middle.
Yeah.
Even if you come in like monsters, you trigger everything but one set of cannons.
Yeah, which is stinky. Makes sense. Yeah, makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And if you're coming in with knights, then it's obviously different. Yeah. They're going to sting anyway. Yeah. But hopefully you're defended. Hopefully they've had to fight their way through the cannons to get there.
Yeah.
But not if you're a dirty high elf.
They're still touched though. Both units hail blasters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're much more survivable, aren't they?
Knights. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you'd
down to the dice.
And you only have to win.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Because if you get, say, you do 5 wounds on stand fire, they lose a stand. They might not cause 5 wounds back.
Well, not if you're defended. Yeah. That's the whole point, isn't
it? Yeah, no, you won't. You definitely won't. Yeah.
Sure. Mm. Oh, so that's how I build mine. It's quite spicy.
Yeah.
There are many things. When I look at like, kind of. Other brigades of artillery, I kind of think, what can I put in to get rid of them? And if they're defended, this is hard to shift.
Yeah.
You're not doing it with eagles.
Yeah. No way.
The old trick would be, which I tried to do with Paul, was put my unit of eagles behind him.
Yeah.
But now because the failed order allows you to turn around, that doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
So I put the unit behind him, and then what I was trying to do is have another unit to charge him in the front.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he managed to destroy those and put a unit in the way. Because that is very cunning. You put one behind, and then they have to turn and shoot those.
But it's a classic thing. I mean, this is why the minimum pace, minimum order, as in, sorry, movement, still works so beautifully. Because if you threaten a brigade at 2 angles, they can't cover both, no matter what they
do. Well, not if they're directly opposite.
Yeah, if you get... So that's why, like, a roll of pistol is... get around behind the enemy, because if you threaten him from 2 angles, front and back, he cannot defend both. There's no way he can do that.
No.
Not without breaking himself up.
Well, not without exposing both to the flank. Yeah. And then that's nearly as good anyway. Hit you both flanks.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, and that's, you know, hence why it's still, Warmaster's obviously the fantastic game is.
Okay, right. So now that is all my troops. We have a general, because we have to. 2 heroes, more than Paul even.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem like a lot of army.
That's me you're talking about.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, well, hang on, what did I say? I said 2 steam tanks, yeah?
Oh, okay, there it is.
Sorry.
Right, 2 steam tanks. Yeah. Choo-choo!
Because they're good. I mean, I was overestimating how good they were, because I did take one down on the web.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It did work.
Yeah.
So we got a general, we got a hero, we got a fighty hero. Mm-hmm. Can't afford a sword, unfortunately. And it's not a dragon either.
Yeah, okay.
So it's only, I think he's only putting in 3 dice and terror.
3 dice and terror. Well, sometimes the terror is all you need, really, isn't it? Yeah, it's the multiplier.
But it is, what's that, 80 and 80, 160.
Yeah.
So he's not a dragon. Yeah. And then we have 1 wizard.
And because we've got that wizard, we're going to take a ring of magic.
Yeah, just...
If we had a second wizard, he'd have a dispel scroll.
Yeah.
Because that's how I like to play it.
Yeah.
First wizard, if it's like a movement spell, ring of magic.
Ring of magic.
Or if you're like Tomb Kings, where you need that raised dead.
Raised dead. Unit.
Okay. Oh dear. Yeah. And then the second one, if I'm bringing a second wizard, and I've got the points, I'll put a ring of dispel scroll on it.
Yeah.
Oh, but if we haven't got very good magic, then I'll just take a dispel scroll.
Yeah.
Rather than
ring of magic.
If it's like high elf.
If you're not playing the list to the higher to the spells, then better a dispel scroll.
Yeah, like it's a high elf or a dark elf, I wouldn't worry about the ring of magic. Yeah, just take a dispel scroll.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's more useful.
Mm-hmm.
So we have one hero for ordering, one wizard for the ring of magic and for ordering ish.
Yep.
We have our general and we have a fighty hero.
Break is ten. Very nice.
We don't commit a lot to the old scouting though. I think
pistols.
I don't know.
Flying character.
Yeah. So what's that? Seven.
Well, the 2 inch pistols.
They're two each.
Two each.
And the character. Seven. What was yours?
Mine was six because I would send in everything I could.
You're not really scouting if you deploy everything, are you?
The troops and the pistols, I'd say them all.
Well, I think mine's better for scouting then as well, so I'm seven. So this is my kind of, this is how I approach a game. I think, what do I want? What works well in a tournament environment? And
not got any room for flagellants in there?
Nah, it's not good for me.
But not got a room for the Grand Theodist, the War Altar?
No, but I've got a room for two steam tanks and a fighter character.
Some skirmishes? Some skirmishes?
No, none of that.
How about some handgunners?
No, none of that. Not even room for a 5-point sword. I mean, this is to the
hilt. I'm going to build an Empire list that has a war altar in it. Because I want to paint, mine.
I don't know what it does.
It's such a ridiculous...
Is it like the unicorn?
It's a brilliant model for what... But the rules do not... Like, it's this epic model, and all it is a +1 to cast.
Like a unicorn.
Once.
It's
this massive thing he's on, and it's like, oh, what does that do? It's amazing.
In fact, the unicorn gives you +1 attack.
Yeah.
For his stabby horn.
Oh, yeah, there's a war altar. That does that as well.
Oh, there you go.
15 points. +1 attack.
+1.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. So that's an example using the most basic list, which is Empire, and how Paul, who's becoming slightly less Paul actually as time progresses, because back in time he would have found room for that second hero, I swear. Because I shouldn't be the one with two heroes.
I'm not.
Yeah, you've got two wizards.
Yeah. I had built Empire lists which were more.
Much more Paul.
More me. But my latest Skaven list has cleared away the warp lightning cannons and the Giselles. Like I played.
Oh, did you see the picture? I know that this is Simon's warp lightning brigade.
Oh my god!
I'm sure I shared it. He had four lightning cannons. Yeah. Four lightning cannons.
Yeah.
Three blew up. And the other one rolled a three and all missed.
All missed.
Beautiful brigade. Is that three you've given up?
Yeah.
No, three brave. They're not individual, are they?
They are individual. Yeah, they're single models. 50 points
just
for one.
Three brave you've given up.
And you're going to be a four for the other gun, like, gets run over. Yeah. For nothing.
That's just not good enough, is it? It's just not good enough. It's all right when you roll a double for bad things to happen, but just to roll a one.
Yeah, it's because Skaven, like, that list doesn't have a point defence gun. Like, it doesn't have... Like, what is the warlock cannon? It's rubbish at both.
You don't have to take it.
No, you don't have to take it. But and to be honest, like, I played it with it, and I'm like...
But you only ran two, didn't you?
I didn't appreciate how many you could have. But it's... I tried a shooty brigade. The scaven doesn't really work. Yeah, it's like the two warp lightning cannons and two units of Giselles, it's not enough. You know, it's not doing enough reliably. The scaven's not scaven. You know, it's like, and it's like, even I was like, next time I'll just get more troops. You know?
Send more rats.
Send more rats in. That's more effective.
Okay, so, is there anything else you want to talk about? I've talked about combat heroes, talked about a dispel wizard.
So, I say, like, this thing of building to brigade. So, like, in both our lists there, we've given examples of how we would build those lists. Oh, well, it's important.
So even if I had points for another unit of halberdiers, I wouldn't take them. Because where am I going to put them?
Yeah, exactly. And that is the... And I do that more in Warmaster now, is I'll build the army list to a brigade in mind. Like, how am I going to form this brigade on the table? Like, what is it? I might even pen it down.
as I'm building it. Like, I might even, like, that's one brigade, that's one brigade, that's one brigade. And it's just so I can, I have no, you know, random units on their own that shouldn't be.
Mm.
Like, oh, a unit of infantry that doesn't fit into a brigade because what am I doing with it? I don't need it. You know, so when I collected my Chaos Dwarf army, I did exactly that. I was like, I did the army list and I built a brigade because that was all the models I was going to get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's an interesting thing building to brigades because mm-hmm. you don't want like an odd unit just having to be ordered on its own.
The difficult one now would be next time we try our Orc Challenge would be building to brigades of an Orc army because you don't want big brigades in an Orc army. You actually...
you've been reading that thing. Yeah. I don't know if that's true at all.
You want, smaller brigades, like two maximum, and lots of characters to order them.
What, I ordered one of six?
Yeah.
Forget about it. Yeah. I did win, god damn it. I won with orcs on the Wizard Tower. And the stupid scenario did for me.
You did.
Did for me.
Yeah.
God damn. Right, so yeah, so that's a little bit of a. If anybody's interested or wants to talk offline or wants to like send in lists,
yeah,
we can look
yeah.
at lists. We can talk like, through this.
But if you send in a list, like or have do yourself the obvious question we would answer back is like, how are you building the brigades to that list? So if you send us both that straight away, here's my list and here's how I'll build the brigades. Then yeah, you know, like that's. That's what you should send to us. Because if you send just a list, I'd ask you how you build the brigades.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest learn is to build a brigade,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I always
like,
do.
What is their role? Like, you know, and are you just playing straight games? Or is there any scenarios you're playing?
Like, if I'm building a dwarf brigade, mm-hmm. it's... Well, it used to be. I'm not sure. It might have changed slightly with the revolution, but it was always... Chaucer's on the front, and then Warriors in column.
Yeah, that's still the best way.
That's it, bang.
Yeah.
So just repeat.
Yeah.
If I need another brigade, same again.
Yeah.
Same again.
Exactly. And yeah, I think that is still the best way to build them. Because you need some rangers to chase cavalry.
Yeah.
If the only thing you might not, if you're not going to take any troll slayers, then it will be
that seems heresy to me.
But it's weird. But if you took no troll slayers, then you'd have four units in column.
If I was going to get anything short, it's going to be those short.
Well, yeah, totally. It's like, and their reverse points in victory points is also particularly weird, like in War Master. But like, even when you can direct a bit more in Revolution than you could in Original, that is still the way to build them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you need some. If you don't take Rangers, you will never win against cavalry. You'll never be effective against cavalry. Because you could never do enough to matter. Like,
yeah.
if you took your high elf spam Silverhelm list, and I took a dwarf army with no rangers...
You've got a lot of armour, though.
No, but I've got no rangers.
Or troll slayers, just warriors. Just imagine
I'm
a world
like,
of warriors.
Well, you know...
World of warriors. Like, just hide in the hills and the bushes. I don't know how you'll keep your cannons alive. But,
yeah. They're dead. like,
I don't know. Yeah, so anyway, we've done a reasonable amount of time already, 106. Right, so we'll just tie up today and then we'll try and do another one next week. We'll try and keep them to around about an hour because that's what I like.
Yeah.
When I'm listening to podcasts, I don't like much more than that.
Fair.
I don't want like 4.5 hour. D6 Generation used to make me laugh. Mm. I don't know if you ever heard those.
Yeah,
they were like 4 hours long. So, mate, who's got 4 hours for this?
The only thing I think we could do with our podcast would be to have an indent when we actually start talking about the topic.
Just have a klaxon for Paul.
Yeah.
That's it now, sir.
No, like I say, like it's like you can skip ahead to the main topic.
Oh, I see what you mean.
So when you've downloaded it and you skip it to the main topic.
I don't think it's ever that distinct.
Yeah,
the main topic.
Just saying, if we were better.
Yeah, if we were better. If we just get good.
Do we have anything to say about the War Master Revolution Committee update?
No, I think it's just ticking along. It's obviously, as I feared, it was going to a small hiatus now while people mull over the Wood Elf question.
Yep.
But that was always going to happen.
And then we have.
Hopefully, we'll get towards the end of the year. We'll get some action again.
I'd like to see the ogres get listed online.
I can't do anything about that.
No,
it's still a list ready.
Yeah, that's the thing that needs to happen at the moment. Blackgate miniatures.
No, we'll do that next time.
Okay.
We sent out the backer surveys, so.
Yeah, I returned mine. Yeah. The thing, I couldn't remember what I'd backed. I had to rework it out.
Well, that's exactly the point, isn't it? So you basically say you go to a sweet shop.
Yeah.
You put.
X amount of hands behind them bang.
I can remember.
Then the person comes and says, what do you want for this? I had to re-guess
what I wanted, like, as I was going along. It worked out right. I think I guessed it right. But
I'll be honest, there's a lot of jiggery pokery goes on around getting this all to balance and like going back saying anyway, a lot of admin.
Yeah,
but the after I finish this, I'm going to go and do the master, no, the production mold for the giant.
Yeah,
so the giant should be done this week.
There's just one cast of a giant, isn't there? There's one model.
Yeah, okay. So it's an easy one. Okay. Somebody's banging next door.
Next time on Warmaster Podcast.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to be. It's going to be next week.
Wagon train.
We might do an evening. I'm not sure we can do another YouTube in the evening, but we'll see what we can get done.
Yeah,
okay. We'll definitely do a podcast.
Yeah.
We'll definitely do, and it'll be next week.
Awesome.
Right. So that was Warmaster Podcast episode 72.
Yeah.
With Paul and
thanks
Barry.
Thanks for listening.
Would you like to know more?